Hi everyone, I'm Jared Benz, an ISV Architect Evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm here today with Joseph Foltz from the Dallas MTC, as well as Joshua Karlinski from Simon. We're going to talk a little bit today about putting a pretty cool solution up into Azure Storage and about how we took advantage of caching to increase performance and actually save some money. Before we dive into that, though, I want to go ahead and give Joshua a chance to introduce himself. So, Joshua, if you could kind of introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about Simon, your history, and what you guys do today.
Hi, I'm a developer here at Simon Communications. We got started in the digital signage industry about 30 years ago, doing mostly LED signs for call centers. And now today we've grown. What we do is we allow customers to produce and display almost any kind of digital signage show that they need to. Some of that is employee communications. Some of it is the hospitality industry. The content can be displayed on whether it's a big screen or whether it's a lot of little screens around a certain facility. We not only provide the signs themselves, but we also provide the tools for our customers to create the content that gets displayed as well.
Cool. So I know the reason that we started working with you guys recently was around a rather new offering that you guys have in the mobile space. It's a mobile digital signage player. And could you tell folks real quickly about what that is and about some of the unique problems that we needed to help you guys solve in that space?
I'm coming at this from a developer standpoint, and the problem was that a customer like a big stadium who's going to have a concert or a big sporting event, they're going to have the need to display a lot of content over a very brief period of time. They're going to want to have it showing on a bunch of different monitors, and they're also going to want to have it available on people's mobile phones. And so we needed an infrastructure that could rapidly deploy a lot of web servers, a lot of resources, but it's only going to be needed for the weekend, and then we needed to be able to tear down, and that's why Azure was the perfect solution for this.
And the solution mapped pretty straightforward into the Azure platform, but there were some specific things that we wanted to try and solve and make a little bit better when it came to particular pieces of content. So with that, I want to kind of turn the mic over here to Joseph. And Joseph, if you could, let's talk a little bit about the caching solution that we put together in Azure and why we needed to do that.
Sure. So when Simon came in, they already had an ASP-based app that was running, and really what we needed to do is look at moving that up to Azure. And it took the form of the typical ASP app. You know, you have a couple web servers up at the front and a database server on the back end, and your content served from a mixture of dynamic content for the database and static files such as images, thumbnails, style sheets, things of that nature, JavaScript, from the web server. So that's pretty typical of what you see nowadays. Some of it gets cached in memory, but a lot of the files, the static files, they are served straight from disk.
And Joshua, in your environment, in your particular solution, aside from this, the JavaScript, et cetera, there were some additional pieces of data that you guys had that was kind of unique to your solution, right?
Yes, that is correct. We had a lot of the content that we provide, the shows, as we like to call them, have thumbnails. And so when you want to select a show to view on your mobile phone, we show a little thumbnail on the side. And so all this stuff, the shows, the thumbnail images, all this kind of content needed to be we needed a good way to get our hands on it.
Okay.
What we did is we moved that straight to Azure with no problem. I mean, it looks, if you look at the two pictures that we just showed, it looks exactly the same. We have a web role up there with it serving web content and SQL Azure in the background. But what we ran into is when they want to change that content, whether it's updated or add new content for different people, while the database can be updated to say, hey, we have new shows for new folks, there wasn't an easy way to deploy that content out because it required that we have to deploy new instances out and then switch the VIP. So not only did it mean that you have to go through the task of doing that, but it also meant that you incurred some costs related to it. So what we thought we might do is look at some type of solution to get that content out there in a way that could be updated by them a little more dynamically. And that's when we came to this type of solution, where now we still have the site serving its, kind of dynamic content, if you will. The ASPX files are running in the web roles. Data is coming from SQL Azure, but all of those other static files that would get served typically from the file system, like JavaScript, style sheets, images, thumbnails, whatever, even, video if you want, are going to be coming from Azure Storage. And we tested that out, and it worked rather well. The problems that we identified, though, with that base architecture is that while we could update the content whenever we wanted, and there's plenty of space to put it out there, we're incurring a transaction cost every time we redirect somebody back to Azure Storage to pick up that content. In addition, I'd have to go through the website as a developer and make sure that I recoded all the URLs so that when they were generated in the page, they pointed to the Azure Storage. And then we did a little bit of testing, nothing particularly scientific, but we found that it wasn't quite as snappy as coming straight from the web role. Then lastly, Joshua referred to having to scale up massively for an event. There's no control if I'm in Azure Storage with all my content. I can't say, hey, Azure Storage, I need more scale for the next 48 hours. Whereas if I had that content being served from a compute role, what I could do is maybe scale it out. And that's when we arrived at this type of architecture. Now here what we've decided to do, and I kind of call this as like a back to the future architecture because it reminds me of the old days of the web, is we still deploy the content to Azure Storage, giving us a means to update that stuff as frequently as we like, but then we cache it down to the web role in a local storage container that you can configure there. What that allows is for the web role to continue doing what it does, the ASPX files and such, running against SQL Azure. But then turn around, and when it's requested an image, the website has a module installed that looks and says, oh, you're requesting an image. Instead of me going to the file system where I typically might go to get it, I'm going to look in this local cache of files and retrieve it from there and serve it back to you. The reason for that is that if I wanted to update that content again, I put it in storage, I update it to the cache on, whatever basis I feel is a good frequency, and then I'm ready to go. The only outlier that we saw really is if you had a large file, a large video, that you wanted to serve up, it might be better to go ahead and still point that back to storage. So the upside for this is that the content can be updated whenever. We control the scale because, if we need 10 web roles, 20 web roles, we can deploy them out there and they can get the cache and scale out as much as we want. We avoid the per transaction cost in Azure Storage, where every time I ask for a file from there, I incur some amount of a transaction cost. So I've gotten rid of most of that because I'm caching that stuff. I'm only getting one transaction cost per web server for each time I refresh it. And the developers, on the upside for the developers, they get to behave when they're in their development environment the same way they always have. They don't have to do anything special. It still acts the same. They still retrieve files and images from the same place, so they store them in the same file folders inside their website. And also with our, with our little test, we found that it was about 35 times faster serving that content from the web role than going to Azure Storage. Now again, not vetted, but we were happy with that test. So the downside is that we had to create an HTTP module to intercept requests. We had to manually move some content to storage, and then we have to get that content from storage to the web role and map the resource URLs inside of the module to respond to it. Some of the times I referred to earlier, here you see the directly from storage, meaning this is the time it took on average over about 3,000 requests that we ran, and we didn't do it in bulk because if we did it in bulk, we might get, blocked. But over about 3,000 requests we ran, it took about, a tenth of a second or so to get the files, and these were like 20K files or so. I mean, they weren't all that big. But going to the version where we put it in the web role and use the HTTP module, and we use various code mechanisms like binary write, transmit file, or write file, we saw about 4 milliseconds response time. So the next thing I'm going to do is kind of walk through that code setup, the staging of the content, show you that it's out there in my my dev storage. So this will all be running from the dev fabric on my laptop, and walk through how we populate the cache and how we serve the content up. So with that being said, I'm going to switch the screen over to my desktop and bring up Visual Studio. So what we've got here is a project that I've set up where I've developed a means to upload the files. Currently, that's just a program file that I'm actually moving into a Visual Studio add-in, and then the means to not only once they're in storage, but move them down to the web role and then serve them up. So real quick review of the code that moves it into storage. I've kind of hard-coded some paths for the moment to make it easier on me as a dev. And you see I've got a move from folder to container, so I'm moving it from my website folder into a container. And we're just going through the list of files here. You see I grab the directory and I get the file list. And then right here I go through each of the files. I pre-append a path because that's the one I want to pay attention to when I'm asking for files on the website. Eventually that'll be configuration driven based on the actual location in the website. Currently I've just got that there to make it easier for testing. And so what we do is we find an item, we get a name to compare, and then we look to see, hey, do I already have this item in the target container, which I've named target blobs. So I see target blobs first, and you see list item, and I want to compare the string and see if there's any place where the name to compare exists inside of that name. What's interesting here is that I don't get a null back if that fails, meaning it doesn't exist, which is what I want, but rather I get an invalid operation exception. So I catch that, and I know that the found item is null. With the find item being null, I open the file, I read it, and then I do an upload from stream for the blob, and then I close the stream, and it gets put up there. I've already done this step, and if we look out in my dev storage database, you can see that right here are the PNGs that I've uploaded, right there. So it's already all staged out inside of storage for me to use.
So, and Joseph, the idea here is that you've kind of basically designated a folder that's part of your Visual Studio project, and you say, I want to pretend that this folder inside of my web project is going to automatically be deployed out into Azure storage and then use this local caching process across however many instances that I have.
Exactly. So the idea with that is that if I have a website and I have, say, like a folder structure like resources, images, then I have maybe resources, style sheets, or whatever else, that as long as I have a file out here, it'll be uniquely named based on path, so I can stick them all in the same container. I don't have to worry about some kind of categorization container stuff. I can just stick them all in the same container because they've got a fully qualified name. And then what would happen is if the HTTP module didn't find it, since all those files also go with the web role anyway, if the HTTP module did not find it and could not serve it back, well, the web role would still serve back the original file that was deployed out. So kind of a security blanket, if you will, so you won't end up with missing images or file not found.
It also gives you the ability to kind of deploy with that content in the role, and then if you needed to modify it later, you could just put it with the right name and storage, and it would kind of replace that image, that file that shipped with the role dynamically.
Exactly. So moving back to Visual Studio, let's take a look at what we do. So once we deploy the web role out, the first thing it does once it initializes, and again, if you notice, this is a storage HTTP module that I've created. Let me roll down here a little bit. HTTP module. But the first thing I want to do actually is load the local cache. I'm going to populate it. So what I do is I first grab the container that I need, that I've been configured to grab, and I grab that from a configuration setting I've got out there. We can look at these here. You see I have configuration settings for, hey, what's my map path, what's my Azure storage container, you know, what's the local file cache called, which is the local resource I've configured here. So I'm setting up these various settings to use within the storage module. I grab that blob container. I get the list of items again, the list of blobs, and I loop through them basically, and I just want to grab them all, get the absolute path to them, and download them right here to local storage. Now you notice the line above it, I URL encode the name. And the reason I do that is because it's a file operation, basically, in local storage for the web role. And if I have the forward slashes, it doesn't work quite right. So all I do is URL encode those forward slashes so I can kind of maintain that fully qualified name, if you will. And it saves perfectly well after that.
So this is on basically your web application start. The HTTP module is going to go out and look at your Azure storage, and anything that matches your storage out there is going to be downloaded into local cache.
Exactly. Now, you know, this is going to be the first iteration that I'll put out and make available to people at one point, where it just kind of does it all in start. But eventually, I want to be able to configure it so I can do it based on a request basis. So you don't have to, you know, kind of seed it right away. You could just let it sit, and it would do it based on getting a request for that file. It could look for its storage and download it and have it available and be able to configure whether I want to seed it initially or wait for a request. So there's an optimization to be done, but, you know, one step at a time. The next thing that happens is once it's all staged, I go ahead and create I assign an event handler for the begin request in my HTTP module. And what that does is at the start of a request, I say, hey, is it the application? Because if it's the application, I want to handle it. If not, I want to skip it. And I want to look, is this one of the paths I'm concerned with? Currently, I can only configure one in the way I've got the code set up currently, but it's not a big deal. So I go out and I say, kind of that same test we saw earlier, hey, the thing you're requesting, is it in a path I'm paying attention to? If it is, I want to grab the local file. And I do that via this method right here, resolve local file path. So I want to get the full file name by encoding that absolute path. So that could be like WAC, resources, images, you know, whatever, .png. I have to get a reference to the local resource, which is the local cache. And so I do that via configuration setting that I've put out there. And I got a node that I've named it a particular thing to get that setting back. Once I've got the full file name, I can do basically file I/O on it. So I'm saying, hey, is there a file info item, because this is just file I/O at this point, for this full name? If it exists, return that full name. And then once I return that full name, the next part of that is basically to check the MIME type. I've got a function out there for that, check MIME type. Then I set the MIME type, the disposition, the file name, and I use write file to transmit it back to the requester. Now, this could be transmit file, or write file, or even binary write, depending on how you want to implement it, or your reasoning for it. Write file is good for most things, but if it always goes to buffer when you write file. So you either have to remember to flush the buffer if it's a large file, or use transmit file, which skips the buffer. And since I served that back, I'm going to do a response.in. Now, if I didn't find the local file, which means I don't have it in cache. Right now I've got nothing going on, but the idea is that I would just pass that request right on to the web server and let it deal with it. Okay? So with that being said, we should hit these breakpoints when I request it if we haven't timed out. So I'm going to go here. Here's the main page. It's just kind of the standard application page that you see. I'm going to stick URL up here in the address bar for a resource I know that is out there in storage that I've also pulled down to the local cache of the web role and request it, and we should hit a breakpoint. And sure enough, we do. What happened here is it actually hit this one first and checked to make sure that this was a path that we were looking for to pay attention to, and it was. It was the resources images path. So it's going to resolve the local path. I'm going to step into this function, and you'll see that we've got the absolute path. There it is, resources images. And tickler 1png, I guess how you might pronounce it. Remember that when I saved it locally, I had to URL encode it so it would save properly. So I do that here, and now you can see the URL encoding of the full file name. And then now I'm just going to take out and grab the reference to the local resource for the local storage and look for that file info. You see that full path to where the local storage is. And if it exists, I'll return the file name. So once we return the file name, we see that it's not null. We check the MIME type. I'm just going to step over that function. We have the MIME type here as image XPNG. We add the header for it, you know, a path and the disposition. Then we do the write file and response in. I'm just gonna F5 and let it continue. And if we go back to the web browser, we should see our PNG. So that's the solution as it stands currently. I'm working on some code artifacts that will be put out on Codeplex eventually to try to allow people to start with some type of solution, have an add-in to help configure them, and then they can modify it to do what they want. Once that's done, I will post it out on my blog right here. And also on this blog currently is a full description of the stuff that we did with Simon. You see the whole stuff about the image conversion worker role, and if you go on down, you'll see the same stuff that maybe we talked about here today with regard to serving that content up. So you can find a bunch of stuff out there on my blog, and that's where I'll post it when I put it out on Codeplex.
Cool. Thank you, Joseph. We'll go ahead and include a link to your blog with this screencast as well, so they can link directly to it from there. And with that, I'd also like to thank Joshua from Simon for joining us. Joshua, we've got the web page up here, but what's the URL that people can go to learn more about Simon?
That's www.simon.com, S-Y-M-O-N.
Cool. Well, thank you guys very much, and we'll have this up on Channel 9 here shortly.